Would you turn with me to the Old Testament scriptures? We're going to read just a few individual verses or brief passages as we move along to the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 33. So stay with me and go with me. Deuteronomy 33:3. Yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua 5:13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Psalm 73. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Okay, we'll turn over to the New Testament scriptures now. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14:23. And when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Luke chapter 6. That would be verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. We'll turn to Luke chapter 10. Just read the last two verses. And Jesus said, or answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away at her, namely, that she was sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his words. We'll turn over to Acts, book of Acts, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And then our main text is back in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, commencing with verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And these selective readings are from the Word of God. As I mentioned this morning, I wanted to have a message tonight simply exhorting us to personal devotions, that if you have not begun a regular quiet time with the Lord, that I exhort you to do so. And if you are, that you might have it enhanced, if you will. And we all need our times with the Lord to be vibrant, to be special. And if they've just been routine, and as I think the proper word sometimes again is perfunctory, just on time and scheduled and daily, but yet it's become just a routine thing and you don't hear the voice of the Lord and you're not crying out to Him in that personal time, that it needs to be certainly rejuvenated. I do believe that Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6 are undoubtedly the clearest passage about having a quiet time with the Lord. Did you notice the 8 times the singular pronoun is used? That's on purpose. 8 times. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's repeated for emphasis. Could have easily done with a few less pronouns to get the point across. Lord Jesus is saying that the singular persons need to be alone with God. You know, when man was first created, he was alone with God, literally, wasn't he? He had God all to himself. But really, you know, you can have God all to yourself. What a privilege that is. You look in Genesis chapter 2, and it says that God made the man. He took and put the man in the garden. He commanded the man. He brought animals to the man. He put the man to sleep. He called the man when he came in the cool of the day. There was such a communion with God. Alone with God, I want us to ponder tonight the way it was, the way it can be, and the way it should be. This is more, I guess, of a talk than I suppose a sermon. This is where our Christian lives really meet the road. It's an exhortation to please have personal devotions. Your life and your blessings really depend upon your drawing near to God, my drawing near to God. I suppose we could say it's the most important time in our lives. It's the most important event. It's the most important practice that you'll ever be able to engage in. It's the key to salvation happening to you when you think about it. Salvation is when you're alone with God. It's just between you and the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So your Christian life and my Christian life begins with devotions with God, begins with a quiet time with the Lord. You can be in a crowd and hear that still small voice in your own soul, can't you? It's the key to true success. It's the key to the best life that you can possibly live in preparation for eternity, to be alone with God. I have some reasons to convince us that personal devotions or regular time alone with the Lord is life that's best spent, the best way to prepare for eternity. Again, I say, firstly, it's the inaugural first experience in the commencement of your salvation. It's God meeting with you and you meeting with God. Paul mentions that the Lord Jesus spoke to him one-on-one from heaven at the conversion of his soul. Really, your salvation is your first real quiet time with God when you're saved. I read of Enoch that he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. But it says he didn't begin to walk with God until after he begat Methuselah. And then it says he walked with God so many years and then died. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Enoch wasn't saved until he begat Methuselah. That he began to walk with God at that very serious time. Some people, I suppose, live carefree until they see a little one whose soul they're responsible for, and they begin to take life seriously when they see that their children are walking in their footsteps. They follow us for good or for ill. My father-in-law smoked a cigar and said that one day he was mowing the lawn and Ray put a stick in his mouth to imitate him. And he took the mower, he went all the way to the creek and threw the cigar into the water, and that was the end. A little Shane that I drive, he's getting larger. Shane and Nate Cope, it's a nice name, isn't it? But he told me that when he was littler than he is, that he put a stick in his mouth when his father was outside imitating his dad smoking cigarettes, and his dad looked at him with a stick in his mouth and he took the cigarette and put it out and never smoked again. That's commendable. But yet you see people left and right still taking drinks to their lips, still smoking, still living sinful lives, knowing that their children are walking in their footsteps. So Enoch walked with God. There it is. Day by day, he communed with the living God. Abraham, it says, the God of glory appeared to him. Jacob, saw the Lord at Peniel. The Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate state wrestled with Jacob. Jacob had personal times with the Lord. The Lord Jesus spoke personally to Matthew and said, "Follow me." Nicodemus got alone with Christ, didn't he? When he was in a certain place in the evening. I don't know if others were there. They may have been. But Nicodemus was alone with Christ. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." The Samaritan woman was there alone with the Savior of the world. She got saved. Her first encounter with the Savior, first meeting with Christ, was a meeting of salvation. She had a quiet time with the Lord. The woman caught in adultery, the Bible says everybody else left. She was alone with Christ. She got saved. And I suppose it's true, wouldn't it? We would say that you really can't get saved until you're alone with Christ, until it's just you and the Lord. And again, it can still happen in a crowd, but it's between you and the Lord. I can't save you, you can't save me. We can't wear off on each other for salvation. And I suppose in some ways you can wear off on each other in sanctification. But I like what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was to say, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. Character comes from your own personal walk with God. Nathanael, it's interesting. You remember when Nathanael was brought to the Lord and he was thinking nothing good could come out of Galilee? And Jesus said, "I know you." He said, "I saw you under the tree." And I think from what we can gather there is Nathanael was having a quiet time with God under a tree. And Jesus said, "I was having a quiet time with you. I saw you." I don't think it's just a statement that I'm omniscient. Don't you realize that you are communing with me? Say that, sure. So I think it shocked him. I think it's more than just a shock that that Jesus saw him there. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." So its inaugural first experience is the commencement of your salvation. A quiet time with the Lord, personal devotions with the Lord is an incredible privilege. Incredible privilege. You're meeting with God. Think about that. You're meeting with God. God Almighty. You're meeting with the Lord, Jehovah. The great I Am. The Living One. The Eternal God. You're meeting with the Sovereign King of the universe. Jesus says you're meeting with your Father. Our Father who art in heaven. We're meeting with the God who dwells in heaven. And he says, he's thy Father. I think of people on this earth that we've gotten autographs from, pictures, maybe that have been taken with them, backstage with somebody, shaking hands, watching someone in person. People spent thousands of dollars and took weeks of time off just to be in the crowd as the royal couple passed by. Just to say, "I saw them pass by 100 feet away. I was there." We have, probably everyone here has a story to tell. I shook the hands of prestigious college basketball coach on the court of West Virginia University basketball. Digger Phelps. Big deal, huh? It was a big deal for me back then. But he's a man, finite man, probably a lost man, still worshiping the Virgin Mary and fingering his beads every day. We've been around personalities that are famous. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The psalmist would say, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" We're looking forward to seeing Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, Joshua. Think about it. They're in heaven. We're going to see them. People that we've read about all our lives. Samson. Ruth. Boaz. David and Solomon. Hezekiah and Josiah. Godly people. Nehemiah. Esther. Job. Let's see Job. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, right down the line, the apostles, Paul, Aquila and Priscilla, Dorcas, who's the seller of purple? Lydia, I get to see Lydia, on and on, Augustine and Martin Luther and Zwingli and Calvin and Knox, Charles Spurgeon, the missionaries that are so famous, Adoniram Judson, C.T. Studd, John Patton. Let's see all those people. Let's see Fred again, aren't we? Mr. Townsend, Mr. Locker, Tanya and I were thinking about that today. It's such a sad thing to think we're never going to be able to see him in his home again after the nursing home service. People come and people pass. But we're going to see Jesus. But it's an incredible privilege that we can see Jesus today by faith. Peter said that he was eyewitnesses of his majesty. This voice we heard in the Holy Mount. John says, whom we have seen and heard and we have touched him. Paul said, he was seen by me. Mine eyes, Simeon said, have seen thy salvation. He picked up the Lord Jesus. But you and I, every day, can spend time with the Lord Jesus. We don't have to wait to heaven, till heaven to see Him. We can see Him now with our eyes of faith. What an incredible privilege. Do you sense it? Do you sense the privilege of being alone with God? Please sense it. Let that be an incentive to spend time with God. Don't neglect your soul's chief joy. It is a divine mandate. Jesus said, enter into thy closet. That's a command. James says, draw nigh to God. It's a command. He condescends to meet with us. It is to be exalted to meet with Him. He says, I dwell in the high and the holy place. But with him also that is of a humble and contrite heart. Jesus says, if any man will open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him. And he will sup with me. What an incredible privilege. But it's a mandate. He ordained his disciples that they might be with him. The island of Patmos, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a voice. Jesus met with John. It's a divine mandate. And again, like this morning, meditation, God exhorts us to be with Him. Could I recommend a specific place? The key is a solitary place. The key is that you and I find a place that is without distraction. Jesus called it a closet, thy closet. And he said, make sure you shut the door. Don't let yourself be distracted. For Moses and the Lord Jesus, it was a mountain. For Isaac, he went out into a field to meditate. Joseph had a dungeon, a prison cell. Daniel went to his chamber, we're told, and opened his window toward Jerusalem, was it? Daniel had his chamber in his home. Peter had a housetop. That's what he could find. He was at a friend's house, and there was nowhere else. I need to get alone with the Lord. But that must have been a special place, wasn't it? To go up on top of the house. Some of you may have a housetop or close to it. Go out on your roof and spend time with the Lord. I had an attic room on Junior Ave in my junior year at West Virginia University. I'll tell you, that was special. It was at the top of the house. You had to duck to go in. And I had that as my room, alone with God. John had an island of Patmos. John's prison cell was his room. Could be your car, although that could be dangerous or strange. I told you the story of just before I went out to pass out tracts downtown that I just felt the need to cry out to the Lord, and I didn't want to do it conspicuously, so I got on my knees in the back seat and prayed. And some lady walked by and thought I must have been dead or something, and I'm hearing all these sirens from far away, and they got closer and closer and closer and louder and louder and louder, and then they stopped. And so I just continued on, and on my window, I looked up, and there's a big red fire truck and a big fellow with his gear on. You all right? And, you know, strange. I don't know whose face looks stranger, mine or his. I said, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just praying. And he had kind of like, whoa, what am I going to do now? How am I going to report this? It might be the woods. Like that woman that used to go out to her favorite stump and pray, oh God, save Ben. And her son Ben was cutting across the woods to their home one day, and he heard the moans, the cries, sounded like his mom, and got closer and closer and started to listen and heard her pray, oh God, save Ben. Ben got saved. Could be a broom closet. Tanya tells the story that's the only place she could find that was quiet in the dorm, was a little broom closet. And I know that feeling. When I was up in New Hampshire at the men's retreat, New Hampshire Church's retreat, I couldn't find a place. There were so many men everywhere. And the only place I could find before I was to preach, I just needed to get alone with God. It must have been pouring raining or something, or the mosquitoes. I didn't go outside. There was a broom closet on the bottom of the stairs and into the wall. And looked. There was a door. I opened it. It was just enough room for me to get in there. The light was there, and I was able to spend time with the Lord. It was precious. But may I say, the reason why it's so important to have a solitary place picked out that's conducive to prayer, because, again, the threat of distraction. You want to associate a place with time with God. And that's why I think the bedroom sometimes isn't the best place, because you associate with sleep, and perhaps you're falling asleep, especially if you're in the bed. Or a TV room where you're associating with watching television, the temptations that are there. I'm just cautioning us that it is true that the place that you choose can be a distraction or not. That you set aside a place that you find that you're able to focus, to concentrate, to get alone with God and commune with Him. The Lord Jesus exhorts us to have a place without distraction. God is worthy. He's worth it. We need to make sure we redeem that precious, though it be little time with the Lord. I'll tell you, it'll be life-altering. Men and women who got alone with God had life-altering experiences, not just salvation, but life-altering experiences. It was my quiet time with God one day in January of 1981 that God said, go toward the south. It was my call to the ministry that came during a quiet time with God. Abraham's great test came with a quiet time, as it were, with God. God got alone with Noah and tested his faith and his courage that he would build an ark. The Lord got alone with Joseph in that prison, and I suppose that's where he found forgiveness for his brothers. That would have been hard to forgive your brothers for what they'd done. And it was there that he became humble and ready to be a leader of the people. It was Moses' quiet time with God that made him the meek man that he was, as he spent time in the mountain with the Lord. It was Jacob's time alone with God that changed his life. When God touched the hollow of his thigh, humbled the pride of that man. Hey, it's your time alone with God that's going to alter your life. It's going to change you and me. That we might be conformed to the image of the Savior. I know that we have had times where God has gotten alone with us in a church service. He's got a hold of our heart. And we don't want to ever miss those opportunities that perhaps we should be praying in a service like this. Lord, speak to me. Lord, say something to me that will be memorable, that will alter my life. Speak to my soul. Address something in my life that I need to change, or I need to enhance, or I need to address myself. Yes, you need to get alone with God. People have asked for suggestions. Okay, get alone with God, now what? Certainly we would exhort you to read from Genesis to Revelation. Though it seems that Genesis is an easier book, it seems like we can hear God's voice a little bit easier in Genesis than we can Leviticus. But he's still speaking in Leviticus. Leviticus is just as much God's word as Genesis or Psalms. I would exhort us not just to stay in Psalms and Proverbs all our life. If you love Psalms and Proverbs, read a Psalm and a Proverb every day, but don't neglect Leviticus or Ecclesiastes or the last. And we like to. There's a temptation for me too to neglect the last 10, 15 chapters of Ezekiel. But there's a word there for us if we'll wait upon God. Revelation has a great word for us. I think it's good to have a pen and a notebook. What I've learned in devotions today. You're looking for that word from God, and it gives it to you. And we're people that are prone to forget. Even have a little journal. What I learned from the Lord today. Take with you for the rest of the day as fodder for meditation. But please read the Bible through. Try to read it through regularly. That doesn't mean that you have to feel guilty if you haven't read the Bible through in 1 year. But I would exhort you to read through the Bible at least once every 2 or 3 years at the most. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. We all have a concordance, I hope. find a word that speaks to your heart, take the concordance and look in other places, the meaning of it. You look at the word Jesus went up in the mountain to pray. Took a little study just to look up the word mountain. That it seems to be a place that God chose to meet with people alone and individually. There are other studies as far as how to have personal devotions. But my exhortation tonight is that we have time alone with God. That we don't neglect that precious privilege. That is a life-altering experience. It is critical for the growth of our souls, and that this life might be lived the best way it can possibly be lived, in the fear of God, to love the Lord with all of our heart. Great preventative of sin to be alone with God every day. So we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit who speaks to our hearts. It's a way that is going to prepare that we meet with men and women every day. Don't seek to meet with people until you've met with God. Then we can have a good influence on each other. Then we can have the right spirit before we meet with each other. Moses met with God before he went down the mount. The people were kind of scared when they saw the effect that it had even on his countenance. But that was a good thing. They saw, wow, God is so glorious. That glory is shining from Moses' face. Hey, there was an awe of God that came upon the people because Moses spent time alone with the God of glory. And though people might not directly associate your influence with your time alone with God, you and I have an influence if we've been alone with God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Why is this so? What's the association? You've been with God. You've done godly things because you're in relationship and union with God. And when they see the influence you have in their life, they'll see it's because of your union, your connection with the God of glory. May God bless this simple thought to our hearts tonight.